Life After Stroke is a production of the Hang On to the Dream Foundation, the 501c3 nonprofit organization that helps kids and adults reach their goals in life. If these Life After Stroke programs are helpful to you, please consider making a tax-deductible donation to the Hang On to the Dream Foundation to assist the organization in its numerous outreach activities. For more information, just go to www.hangontothedream.org. And remember, no matter how hard things seem, hang on to the dream. The following is a recorded program of an actual stroke support group. The comments expressed are the personal opinions of the participants and not necessarily the opinions of the producers, sponsors, or the broadcasters of this show. This program is not to be used as a way to diagnose or treat any medical condition that you may have. Please consult your doctor or healthcare professional before making any changes to your current medical routine.
Stroke.
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 It comes out of the blue, sometimes without warning.
But those who survive it
should never lose hope.
A stroke can be life-changing.
But it is also
a new beginning.
Because for all survivors, there is still a beautiful life after stroke.
Hey everybody, welcome to Life After Stroke. I'm Christopher Ewing. Today we're broadcasting from home base, which is Providence St. Joseph's Medical Center in Burbank, California. And we are here with the gang. The gang is all kind of... We kind of got the band back together again here because we had a little vacation time. You're on the 4th of July and stuff like that. People were kind of out and about. Dave's been on the road, and you got a good story to tell, I know, because you went on to Alaska or something like that, right? Yeah, very cool. And John's here, and we've got a new member to the team over here. And so anyway, we're going to introduce you guys to all of them and all that kind of good stuff. And... I guess I'm going to start off by saying that, well, we have survived the earthquakes, for goodness sakes. My goodness. For all of you listening around the world, you know, I'm originally from the Midwest and the East, so I was not prepared for what an earthquake felt like. And I've felt a couple since I've lived out here. I've lived out here for about 7 or 8 years. But this was really crazy, wasn't it, you guys? I mean, it was really crazy. And we, you know, we taped the show here at the hospital on Thursdays, and it was right before... our support group. We usually do our support group here at 11 a.m. Pacific time. And so it was, you know, probably like 10-ish, 10:15-ish, 10:30, something like that. And I had left my house and I was on the phone with my mom. And, you know, I'm only a few miles away. So by the time I got here, you know, we were still on the phone. And because the reception, the phone reception is so bad in the hospital, I didn't want to, you know, try to get out of the car and go inside. So I just kept sitting in the car and finishing up my phone call. And while I'm in there, and I had been in the car for, you know, for enough time to know that it wasn't moving before, but, you know, we're on the phone, and I'm like, okay, wait, why is the car shaking right now? But, and I'm in the parking lot, and I'm thinking, well, maybe it's because I'm on the bridge of the thing or something. You know, when cars go over, you know, in a parking lot structure, sometimes the thing will shake, and I'm like, well, no, I'm not even parked there. I'm, like, literally on the first, like, main level here, and nothing should be moving. And I looked straight ahead, and I have a handicap spot, and the sign of the handicap thing was like shaking back and forth. Wait, yeah, exactly. Like waving at me. And I said to my mother, I was like, wait, I think we're having an earthquake or something. This is really weird. I said, I got to call you back because it was so long too, wasn't it, you guys? I mean, it was long enough for all of the spot to go on, you know, because usually they're really brief, but 20-something seconds. Exactly. So this was what was even weirder. So after I hung up, I'm looking around and everything's still shaking. And then when it stopped, I was getting out of the car and I saw this guy walk by and I said, excuse me. I said, did we just have an earthquake or something like that? And he didn't answer me. He turned around. He goes, hey, you were right. This guy just said we had one too. I said, well, I guess that answered my question, you know, because, you know, he was kind of freaking out too. And it was just really, really weird, you know, really weird. And, you know, thank goodness, you know, there weren't any injuries or anything like that because it was kind of out in the desert area, I guess. So, but anyway, for those of you on the East Coast and, you know, other parts of the world that don't ever really feel earthquakes, it's a weird feeling. It is a very, very weird feeling. Well, that's right. That's the other thing. It's, you know, and it's interesting. Cassie just said, are you talking about the earthquake or the aftershock? Isn't it funny how what began as the earthquake, what did they call it? Like a foreshock then, you know. So it's like when the next one comes and it's even worse, well, then that becomes the big one, and the other one was just kind of like a little appetizer, you know. And that was even weirder too, because I was sitting in the dining room watching everything move, and I'm thinking, my goodness.
My husband and I, Lee and I, were at the all I can think of is fire. We were at the stove. The fire was on. We were frying crab cakes, and we were both really excited about it. All of a sudden, I'm like, earthquake! And Lee hasn't been in a lot of earthquakes. And I was in Northridge and thought I was going to die, so they really freaked me out. Earthquake!
Yeah, right.
Holding on. And
yeah.
And then I'm freaking out because I'm thinking we're going to explode. So, you know, it turned off the fire, of course.
Sure, sure, sure. Yeah, I hear scary. That Northridge one was really big.
Oh, my God.
It was amazing.
Oh, God.
Yeah, yeah. Unbelievable.
I was on the second story of a two-story apartment with a parking garage and thought we were all going to come crumbling down.
Yeah, yeah. And how long did that one go on for and shake and roll for?
I have no recollection other than forever.
Yeah, right. Exactly. When it happens, it probably does feel like forever. For everybody listening, this is one of our new members to our gang here. This is Cassie and her husband, Lee. Cassie, tell everyone a little bit about yourself and, you know, tell everyone when you had your stroke and things like that.
I was 54 when I had my stroke.
You didn't have to tell your age because you still look like you're like 34. I mean, please. I mean, I'm not just saying it because she's sitting here. She really,
you
look good. Yeah, no.
It doesn't bother me. I use great skincare.
There you go.
I really do. Anyway, yeah, I was 54, and it was not expected. I was fairly, quote-unquote, healthy. I have a autoimmune disease. That's the only thing that might have contributed. They don't really know, as they never do.
Yeah, right.
So, yeah, it was 5 years ago. Pardon me, I'm 59. It affected my left side. I was completely immobile and am able to stand and walk, not for long distances, and use my left hand. And my husband is a professional musician, and he goes on the road for 4 and 5 weeks at a time, and I'm able to shower, take care of myself, do some light laundry. I have friends help me with coming over and making the bed and feed my cat, etc.
Yeah.
And do the things I need to do while he's gone. So I'm thankful.
Okay, okay. And Lee, can I brag on you a little bit?
Sure.
Yeah, because I think it's so cool. For everybody listening, Lee is famous. He was the trumpet player for The Tonight Show with Jay Leno for 5 years in the Kevin Eubank years. He was the trumpet player. He was so whenever you tuned in, he was the man with the trumpet.
That's right. I was in your living room.
Yeah, there you go.
Every night.
Every night.
Whether you liked it or not.
There you go. There you go. That is so cool. That is so cool. And now you tour around and play with other people and always kind of on the road doing your thing. And that's awesome.
That's right. Yeah, we were out 200 days last year.
Wow.
It's a long time.
That is a long time.
To be away.
Sure. Sure.
Our house is small enough that Cassie is able to negotiate. We don't have a lot of stairs, fortunately. And we have wonderful volunteers from Motion Picture Hospital out in Woodland Hills.
Cool.
They come and make sure she gets to her physical therapy appointments.
Awesome.
And if she needs to go to the store at the drop of a hat, they'll be there for her.
Awesome.
So we're very fortunate. We don't need any kind of live-in help. Thank God.
Yeah, yeah. Well, Cassie's recovery looks like it's going great. I mean, you know, I can only imagine. So,
when you're around it all the time, you don't. Sometimes the little things pass you by. But
when you look back in clumps, you know, it's like, oh, that's something you couldn't do 6 months ago or a year ago.
I see a lot of improvement.
I can button now.
Ooh, good.
Good for you.
So that's a big deal for me.
Sure. She was saying she can button now. Yeah.
Yes. Ziplocs. I can't hold hard enough with my left.
Or try to open them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Dave, you were talking about potato chip bags too. Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
Kids
Exactly. So I want to go around the horn because I got a few. We got to catch up with everybody because it's been a few weeks. You know, we do our shows. You know, every couple of weeks, you know, we do a new show just because. You know, I like to kind of take a break and just kind of sit around, hang out with the guys, and not do a show. But you know, I mean, we could do a show all the time if we want. But you know, I just think it's good to just kind of catch up with everybody sometimes and just sit and chill. So that's why sometimes we have a new show and sometimes we don't. But we got one today, and so now it's our time to catch up with everybody. Dave's been on a trip. Tell everyone
actually,
where you've been, man.
The kids on a cruise to Alaska.
How cool is that?
Yeah, we did a Disney cruise.
Oh, it was Eden Dublin. It was a Disney one. Oh,
yeah,
how cool.
On the Disney Wonder.
Oh, yeah. That's great. Shout out to Disney. I bet the kids loved it. Yeah.
Oh, they did.
Oh, is that cool?
Yeah, we went to Vancouver.
Right.
And then went from there to the boat. Then we went to Skagway.
Okay.
And they did the sled dog thing.
Wow.
Yeah, the Iditarod sled dogs.
Oh, how cool.
We went to their summer camp.
Oh, that's great.
That was neat. The kids got to go pet the dogs and play with the puppies.
Oh, no, the puppies must have been adorable.
Oh, they were. They were great.
Oh, that's so cool.
We did that, and we went gold panning.
Wow.
Yeah.
What a great experience.
Yeah, they loved it.
How cool is that?
And Disney's really, you know, accommodating. They do, like, little shows for them every night.
Yeah.
Like the little, what was
Mickey
it?
Mickey and Minnie and Pluto. And
all that stuff, yeah.
Oh, how cool.
Oh, yeah.
That
they even
great.
Have baby races.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, for the people that have babies.
Yeah, they like crawl and stuff?
Yeah, yeah.
Crawling
in the
atrium, races?
They had baby races.
Oh,
how
Jack cool
Jack racing.
Jack Jack.
That was great.
Oh, is that neat. So what, you flew up to Vancouver?
Flew up to Vancouver.
And that's where you catch up with the boat? Okay.
Yeah, we got out the Disney Wonder.
Uh-huh.
And it's got like two pools.
Okay.
Like 11 stories.
Wow, can you imagine?
It's great.
That is like a city really on the water.
Then
man, my
food
goodness.
To, you know, food, whatever you want.
24/7.
Oh, yeah, I could have like egg whites and spinach in the morning, you know?
Of course you could.
My normal breakfast.
That is his normal breakfast, his go-to breakfast.
And then, you know, fruit, you know, vegetables, you know, anything you want. And they're very accommodating, extremely accommodating.
And so then you float from there to someplace?
Skagway, then we went to Juneau.
How far is Skagway, let's say? A couple days, a day? How long are you on the boat for? Okay.
Or a night. You know, they cruise at night. Or you know,
okay.
They'd leave port and they'd take off and they go.
Okay. And then when you get to a port, how long can you, like, you get off the boat and you can go hang out for a while?
You usually have, you know, back on board by, you know, like 4 or 5 in the afternoon.
Okay.
And sometimes it's 7 o'clock.
Wow.
But we went to.
So that's long enough to kind of see
the town.
Oh,
yeah. You can go through town and stuff.
Yeah. Okay.
We took a couple train rides in Juneau. And then from there, we went to Ketchikan.
Wow.
It's a beautiful place.
Wow.
We saw the
Mendenhall
Glacier.
Wow.
Dawes Glacier. Yes, something to see.
How cool
is
that?
Yeah, they even brought a big thing of ice onto the boat. I got a picture of my daughter sitting on the ice on the boat.
Right.
Yeah, the kids loved it.
Wow. And sitting next to Dave is Dr. Parker. How are you, Dr. Parker?
Okay.
Yeah, you've been staying out of trouble?
Oh, yes.
There you go. Now,
I have been staying out of trouble.
Okay.
Well,
now,
Not
entirely, huh?
Not entirely.
That's because I'm about to wait now. I should preface this by saying, now if you want, I'll cut out the next part, but I'm going to out you a little bit because something you shared with us last week when we didn't tape. I mean, we have our meetings every week, right, but we didn't tape last week. You told us that you are dating again.
Huh?
You're dating again.
Oh,
yes. Yeah. Ooh.
Not just yes, but oh yes.
Yeah, he said, yeah, not just yes, but oh, yes. Absolutely. He's about. Yeah. He's met a little special someone and has been spending some time with her and getting to know each other and stuff like that. How's that going?
She lives in Northridge and she survived the earthquake.
Yeah, the Northridge earthquake, yeah.
Yes, I think 30 miles.
Yeah, 30
from here to there.
There you go. But you've been on a few dates, you said, and it's been going good. You've had a nice time getting to know each other. And
I have another date this Sunday. I am going to Northridge.
Okay, you having a date with her or with a different person?
No.
Same person.
With her.
Okay, there you go. You know, and I want to go here and say this, you guys. Now, Dr. Parker, you have said your age before, and I still don't believe it either. You said you're like 82, 81?
Almost 82.
Almost 82. I tell you, I don't know what you guys are drinking.
Enid is almost 84.
Wow. Well, look at look at you. All right. All right. Well, I'm telling you, you know what, you guys, here you go. This is another one. Doesn't matter how old you are. You know, doesn't matter that you had a stroke. You know, and Dr. Parker, I'm going to say this because we've talked about it in a couple of episodes. You were initially a little concerned about communicating out loud and verbally and things like that. And
I have called her 8 times.
And there you go. Speaking on the phone. You know, the reason.
Slowly speaking on the phone.
Well, but you know what? For everybody listening, the reason he's saying that is because a few episodes ago he said that he didn't like to talk to people on the phone. He preferred texting because he felt self-conscious about his speaking. And I told him, you know what? If somebody doesn't have the time to sit there and listen to you talk, you don't need to be calling them, no way. Don't even just lose their phone number. That's what you do with that. And I think this is an excellent example of a few things. Number one, doesn't matter the age. You can always find somebody special out there who's, you know, you can spend time with and things like that. Number two, you can't use stroke as like, well, I had a stroke. Guess I'm not going to meet anybody. You know, Dr. Parker's, he said he had 2 strokes in the same day in the hospital 9 years ago. And here he is out here dating and doing his thing. And I'm so glad to see that you put that speech thing behind you.
The setting did. She came to the house and met Jen and Sandy.
Oh, met your daughter. Okay, yeah.
And they both gave her a thumbs up.
Oh, right.
That's awesome, Dr. Parker. That is so cool. That is so cool.
I'll just ask something before I forget. Before I forget, I'm sorry, I don't want to interrupt you, Doctor. I just was reminded when he said he had 2 strokes, or you said he had 2 strokes.
Yeah, he shared with us he's had 2 strokes, yeah.
I did as well, and I want to know if it's something that's common.
Oh, well, that's something we'll have to remember when we next time we have a doctor on, you can ask him. I mean, I've heard once you have 1 stroke, you're more predisposed. You're a little more predisposed than the average person to have more, and I think it's like 40% or something like that. Certainly in the first year, your odds are high.
But at the same time.
Yeah, you know, in the same day.
I had 1 at 10 in the morning.
Before he got to the hospital.
And that other in the hospital at 4 a.m.
Yeah, and you know.
And the 7th one, my wife, who was still living then, didn't think that I would come out of it. My daughter didn't think I would come out of the 2nd stroke.
Yeah. You know, that's one thing I want to ask the doctors next time we have them on is, you know, why people have strokes in the hospital. It seems like a very strange place to have one. It's like, my gosh, you're in a hospital and you had a stroke. Mm-hmm. And the reason I say that is because a few weeks ago, many of you may recall Dan Gilbert, who is the owner of the Cleveland Cavaliers and the head of Rock Financial and things like that. He had a stroke, and his stroke, he had had some symptoms before they got him to the hospital. At least this is according to what I've read, you know, in the news. And then he actually had a real stroke in the hospital. And it just seems like, especially if you get to the hospital with symptoms, it seems like, man, that's the best place to have some symptoms is if you're in the hospital. That's the best place to be before you have a stroke. But how do you actually then actually go on to have a stroke if you're already in the hospital, already being monitored? So, you know, that's something I'd want to ask a doctor. Yeah, Gene, you're going to say something?
Is it because of the ignorance of the first hospital?
Well,
so some medical facilities and medical personnel don't know what a stroke is.
Yeah, well.
I had my hospital, Huntington Hospital, had a stroke unit.
Yes, right. You know, let me.
They were prepared for me.
Right. Everybody listening, we just now took like a little sidebar here for about 10 or 20 seconds because we started going down a little path here of a continuation of a conversation from last week, and I just wanted to talk with Lee and Cassie to make sure that it's okay if we go here, because he went there last week when we weren't recording, and now that we are recording, I just wanted to you know, make sure with him it's okay if we discuss this, because it really touched my heart. And you know, he asked a very important question. Let me just kind of set it up, and Lee and Cassie, you correct me if I'm wrong in any of this. Cassie was at home. You had got called into work or go somewhere or something, and while you were away, while you left, when you left, she had her stroke at home, and Cassie was there for what, a couple hours maybe? You don't remember?
I really vaguely? I think it was that long.
Okay. Gotcha. Okay. And so then when Lee returned, obviously he found his wife and was like, oh my gosh, and he threw her in the car and he went and I won't mention the hospitals, but you went to a hospital that was not one that was right around the corner. You went one that's a little bit farther away, but not so far away that it was like, you know, in a whole other state or something ridiculous. But one thing that you shared with me last week when we were here during the group is that, you know, you've carried a little bit of guilt in that you feel like maybe you should have taken her to a closer hospital and maybe her recovery or her stroke would have been different. The outcome of her stroke would have been different. And I then told you, you know what, number one, don't go there. And I told you why, and I'll say it again. And you guys know I'm a crier, so you know, forgive me if I start going there. But as I said to you, Lee, you can't go there. And I know, you know, as you said, people have tried to, you know, tell you, oh, you know, to make you feel better. Oh, you know, hey, you know, blah, 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 blah. But I just kept it real and said, look, this is your wife. You love this woman. You would have taken her to the end of the moon if the best place that she needed to go to. You made a judgment call on the fact that you wanted to take her to a hospital that you were familiar with, that her doctors were at, that they were familiar with her and everything else. And while it might have been a little bit farther away than the little corner one, you can't go there and think, well, man, I should have taken her to, you know, you took her to what was best. You could have said, you know what, man, the game's about to come on. I don't have time for this stroke stuff. I'm going to run it right up here to the corner to little, you know, little rapid aid, you know, little quick pick up here and you know, urgent care and see what the deal is. I'm going to drop her off and get back to the tea. You know what I mean? You made a judgment call that was best for your wife, and that's important. And I think the thing that I would like to add to that that I didn't mention last week is, you know what? Let the integrity of your decision enter into the picture. You know, don't go back to the coulda, shoulda, wouldas. Really give yourself credit for the fact that you made a call. You know what? I got to take my wife to the best place that I know. And that's her doctors, and it's over at that hospital. And the reason why I'm going here now is to say this. There's people that get taken to the hospital that have a stroke in the hospital. You know what I mean? Yeah. So you can't go there and say, well, if I'd have done this, it would have been better. How do you know? Right. Dr. Parker had a stroke in the hospital. I just mentioned Dan Gilbert, who owns the Cavaliers. He didn't even have a stroke yet when they took him to the hospital, and he had a stroke in the hospital. So, again, I'm not trying to make you feel better. I mean, yeah, I want you to feel better, but I'm not. What I'm saying is not to make you feel better as much as it is to just tell you the flat-out truth, you know?
I think that there's a little bit of guilt that remains about that. Did I stay too long at the rehearsal, or did I was I hanging around just, you know?
Okay, so then go here. Okay,
having an idle conversation with some of the musicians. If I'd have come home directly after the rehearsal, would 10, 15 minutes have made a difference?
Okay, Lee, I'm going to have to interrupt you here. Did you know she was at home having a stroke?
No.
If you'd have known that and you decided to stay a little longer and have another drink, I'd have thrown you out of here myself. Like, I wouldn't even let you be in here. You know that. You can't go there, bro. Don't go there, man. Because you know what? Like I said, people have had strokes in the hospital. That's your wife. You love your wife. There is no way in the world that you would have stayed 10 more minutes if you knew she was at home having a stroke. If she'd have called you on the phone and said, hey, honey, I think I'm having a stroke, you would not have said, oh, really? Okay. Well, listen, I'm sitting here with Jay right now, and, you know, we're having another beer. So I'll come and, you know, give me a minute. I'll be there. Yeah, sit tight. You know, try to stop. You know, come on, man. Don't go there, man. Seriously. You know, you're a good man. She's a great woman. That's your wife. You did, you know, please. I could say that for myself. You know, I had some kind of little TIA thing 10 days before. Why didn't I go get it checked out? You know, I mean, all that. That's why I'm kind of going into this rant. You know, I mean, Dr. Parker's had four of them. Why didn't he go in and look at least one of them? You know, you know, you can't, you know, you can't go there.
No.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah. You just can't go there.
Yeah.
And, you know, and at some point you have to tell yourself it's okay to say, you know what? Yeah, it's okay. I made the best decisions I could. Yeah, absolutely, Cassie. I mean, your wife is telling you, you know? Yeah. Is there something you want to say, Cassie, on any of this? Or?
I just don't know how to express how thankful I am that
yeah.
he came home and just, he was like my hero. He just looked at me, said, "Your face is drooping," and it's like he swept me up.
Went into Superman mode.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Got me into the car somehow. Got me there.
Lee, own that, bro. Own that, man. Seriously. Own that. It's really important. There's a lot of people who aren't here to tell their stories because they didn't have people that cared, because they didn't have a support system, because they didn't have people that, you know. Yeah, there might have been somebody that said, okay, I'm looking. They could be sitting and looking right at him and be like, oh, man, you don't look too good. But you know what? You know, let's just see if it goes away. Let's wait till the commercial break. I mean, I'm sure, unfortunately, there's probably someone on this planet who sat right there in front of a loved one and watched them have trouble. But because the game was on or because they were tired or because of this and that and the other, they decided to wait a little longer and see if it goes away. You went into mode. We were like, nope, that's it. Wife's sick. Gotta go. And you took her to the best place you knew. Give yourself that credit. Because, again, you could have taken her a little easy pick urgent care. And
right. Yeah. I wonder how many out there have. Of course, when I looked at her and saw her face drooping,
mm-hmm.
I immediately, like we said, I went into protect mode.
Of course you did.
But the first thing she said to me was, oh, no, it's okay. I'm fine.
I did the same thing.
I feel fine.
And
nothing's wrong.
And Lee, what did you say to that? And what did you
said,
say when
no,
you
you're
took
not fine.
Now, let's stop right there. You could have just listened to that and said, oh, okay. And you could have said, okay, well, we'll wait it out. But what did you do instead? You said, no, honey, you don't look good to me. No, this is not good. Do you give yourself credit for that? Really, do you? He's nodding his head, everybody listening,
yeah.
But he hasn't, yeah? I mean, do you really give yourself credit for that, or you?
I mean, life goes on, right?
But
so we take it a day at a time.
I know, Lee, but you know what?
I'm resigned to the fact that it happened the way that it happened. I can't change that.
I know,
and
but
I'm
you
okay
know, you look
it.
At it, you look at it from a whole as. You look at the outcome and think, you know, I wish, you know, wish there was something. What could I have done better? What could I have done faster? What, you know, yeah. But and the reason you're saying
yeah.
that again is because that's your wife and you love her.
Right.
But really, that's I guess what I'm trying to say is look at the decisions that you made along the way. You made nothing but great decisions. You could have listened to her when she said, no, you know, I feel okay. You know, you could have just listened to her and waited even longer. But instead, you wanted to say, well, you know, could if I had come home 10 minutes sooner, could that have made a difference? Well, how about the difference that it made when you didn't listen to her and you said, no, honey, we're getting in the car? Because you could have said, yeah, okay, well, if you want to, we can wait for a while. Give yourself some credit, Lee. Seriously, man. I mean, really. I mean, she might not even, God, you know, I hate to say this, she might not even be here had you listened to her. Mm-hmm.
So I would have been at home.
She was saying she had a second stroke. Let her. Yeah, I don't know if you could hear her. Say it again, Cassie.
What I said was because I had a second stroke
mm-hmm.
at the hospital.
Mm-hmm.
So if you would have listened to me, babe, I would have had that other stroke at home, and it might have been so much worse.
Lee, are you listening to what she's telling you, man? Seriously. you know, everybody listening, you know, this is a new family that came to our group last week, and they're just the coolest people. We had the best time talking last week, and, you know, it's when some of this kind of came out in that conversation, and it breaks my heart, Lee. You know, I've only known you for a week, and it breaks my heart if you're carrying this one more day, and you've carried it for 5 years maybe, you know, and she's telling you. You know, I mean, these are little things that obviously I wouldn't know because I don't know you that well. But just the fact that I'm hearing now that, you know, she had a second stroke, she's right. She could have had that one in the house. And Lord knows. I mean, if you're going to have a second stroke, and this goes back now 10 minutes of this show, if you're going to have a second stroke, I would much rather have it in a hospital. I'll tell you that right now. I don't want to be having it in my house, in my room, laying in bed or in the kitchen. I don't know. If I'm going to have another stroke or a stroke at all, let me have that sucker right there in the hospital. Yeah. So now I'm going to put a period on this and leave it alone. Lee, you can kick yourself for not, you know, taking her to the corner hospital, but instead you drove her 20 minutes or 25 minutes or half hour. I don't care how far it was. You took her to her hospital where her doctors were, right? Those doctors knew her. And that's why you made that decision. You said, I'm going to take her to the hospital that we go to all the time, that know her. They know her by name. They have all her medical history. Give yourself some credit for making that decision. Because you could have taken her to a hospital that didn't know her medical history. And who knows? It could have sent her immune thing into a topsy-turvy. You don't know. You just don't know. And now she's telling you, I didn't even know about the fact that she had a second stroke. And the fact that she had the second stroke in the hospital instead of sitting at home where you could have just said, okay, yeah, honey, we'll wait. Like she said, she could have had it there. So I'm going to leave it alone. I love you guys. I'm glad you're here. I hope that I'm not out of line by saying any of this.
Thank you.
You know, it really comes from a place of love. And I just, you know, everybody listening, same thing with you guys. You know, if you're, you know, carrying around like all these coulda, shoulda, wouldas, well, you know what? If you coulda, you know, and you shoulda, then you woulda, you know, but you didn't for whatever reason. And you know what? If you're listening to me now, then you know what? Consider yourself blessed because it could be a whole other way, you know. So that's it on that. And I need to take a break. And so we're going to take a break. And when we come back, we're going to talk to Gene because Gene got himself into trouble and his wife Claire giving him a honeydew. I'm not even going to tell you what it is, but Gene came in here a couple weeks ago, and I was like, what in the world happened to you, Gene? And you won't believe what happened. It was, I still can't believe what happened. But, yeah, Gene. Ay, ay, ay. Okay. All right, sit tight, everybody. We'll be right back. Life After Stroke is brought to you by Audible. With over 180,000 audiobook titles from new releases to bestsellers, you can listen to Audible on your computer, iPhone, Android, or Kindle whenever and wherever you want. Plus, just for being a listener of Life After Stroke, our friends at Audible are giving you a free audiobook of your choice and a 30-day free trial of their service. To get your free audiobook, just go to www.audibletrial.com/lifeafterstroke. That's audibletrial.com/lifeafterstroke. Hey, this is Christopher Ewing, and if you live in the Boston area, don't miss the 2019 Abilities Expo, September 13th through the 15th in Boston, Massachusetts. The Abilities Expo is a nationwide trade show dedicated to highlighting products geared to those who may have a physical disability or motor function impairment. Abilities Expo brings exhibitors from around the world all under one roof, allowing visitors to see up close some of the wonderful products that are out there that can help make life easier. Admission to the Abilities Expo is free, and the Life After Stroke radio show will be broadcasting throughout the entire weekend from the StrokeChannel.tv booth, so be sure to stop by and say hi. I'd love to meet you guys. And if you live outside the Boston area, the Abilities Expo is held all across the country, so chances are it'll be coming to a city near you. So just go to www.abilities.com for upcoming expo dates and for more information. And I look forward to meeting you at the upcoming Abilities Expo, September 13th through the 15th in Boston. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Life After Stroke. I'm Christopher Ewing. And as I said before the break, Gene is kind of in the hot seat a little bit just because I couldn't believe what I saw when he walked in here the other day. So he came into the group And when I saw him, I looked and his right arm looked really kind of bruised and purple and stuff like that. And I was like, okay, has his arm always been like that? And I didn't say anything because I thought, well, maybe it's always been that way. And I just didn't know. So I just kind of let it go. Well, then when he sat down, I looked at his left pinky, in between his left pinky and his ring finger. And it was like, what the heck happened to your finger? So I knew that I had seen him enough to where I knew that wasn't normal. So I said, Gene, what the heck happened to you? And so, Gene, you tell everybody listening what happened.
Well, I was going to look at the reverse osmosis filters inside the kitchen.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't know it, but it was a rattlesnake. And that rattlesnake bit me. So,
yeah. Gene got bit by a rattlesnake. And Miss Claire, his wife over here, she's over here. She's laughing. So Miss Claire was like, she had a honeydew from, honey, I hear something rattling over there. Reach in there and see what that is. But here's the thing. The rattlesnake was in their house. You know, for everybody listening, here in California, obviously because of our weather, I mean, it hardly ever rains. We always leave the doors open and stuff like that. And there's all kinds of weird things growing and crawling around in the middle of the night. Coyote. I mean, all kinds of weird stuff. So it's not unheard of for, you know, something to get into your house because you leave the door open a lot, you know. And so Claire was thinking that at some point, a rattlesnake had gotten into their house, into the kitchen, and behind the water filter thing and this and that. So you heard this rattling. So then you reached back there to see what the rattle was, and it bit you. Yeah. And so go ahead. How, what?
And then within a matter of seconds, the other side or right side started going numb.
Wow.
And then after a few minutes, the head started going numb.
Wow.
So, well, it used to be the good side, the left side, is now damaged.
No.
So, shoulda, coulda, woulda,
yeah,
that Chris was talking about, now probably have realized that I'm still a survivor or alive.
I'm telling you. I mean, and before we started taping today, because, you know, this happened a couple weeks ago, and we've talked about it every week since I've seen you, because I just can't believe that it happened. But I remember asking earlier before we went on the air today, I said, boy, you know, I wonder if a rattlesnake bite could have somehow even have caused another stroke, possibly. I mean, not that it happened, but I'm just saying, you know, if you're already a stroke survivor and things are a little funky going on inside, you know, what could a rattlesnake bite do to you? I mean, Lord knows your body's been through enough. But so your daughter was there, and she's the one that took you to the hospital.
Fortunately, the hospital was very close. Mm-hmm. And knew what to do.
Mm-hmm.
So almost immediately from emergency, they took me to the urgent care. Mm-hmm. And then they quickly started some IVs and started pumping and a venom in me.
And how many vials did you say it was?
Well, I stopped counting at about 15.
15. Isn't that amazing? 15 vials of... That's how much? $17,000. Oh, my goodness.
Oh, I hope I don't get
that
bill.
Yeah, wait till you get that bill there. That is amazing. All those vials... And that's another thing. Now, Gene, you had mentioned that you saw the rattlesnake. You saw his head and all that, and you said it was about a 1 inch by an inch and a half or something like
correct.
That?
Correct. And it had a triangular head.
That's amazing. But here's what's even crazier. So you were at the hospital. You were in the hospital for what, 2 or 3 days, I think you said?
3 days.
3 days. And meanwhile, back at the house, because your daughter took you to the hospital, Claire stayed at home and waited for animal control and those kind of people to come. They came and couldn't find the rattlesnake.
Right, correct.
So you don't know. It could still be in your house somewhere.
I wonder if venom is the anecdote or I'm immune to rattlesnake.
Yeah, you mean, yeah, that's a good question. That's another question for the doctor. We got to
watch out.
Now we do have Lieutenant Colonel over here. Lieutenant Colonel, did you ever have to deal? We've got John over here. Let me ask you quick. Did you? I'm sure you guys in Iraq and all that had to be concerned about rattlesnakes. I'm sure.
Rattlesnakes? No.
No, there's no rattlesnakes out there in the desert and all that kind of stuff.
Bad snakes,
but not rattlesnakes.
No.
Okay, so there's no poisonous snakes, but
oh, yes.
Okay.
There are.
Oh, they're just not Rattlesnake poison. Yeah. Okay.
But
now, with you being in part of the Boy Scouts and stuff too, what do they teach you about rattlesnakes? What's
leave them alone.
Leave them alone. Don't go reaching for them.
Yes, and don't go looking for them
right,
either.
Right. Now, after they bite, do they just kind of now disappear because you found them out, like you found their hiding place? Do they go find another hiding place maybe? Or why couldn't they have found that thing,
know.
I guess, is why I'm kind of wondering.
I don't know.
Claire, did they tell you why they couldn't find them?
No, we think they know where it is, though.
You think you know where? It's outside. You think it's outside? Okay. All right. Well, hopefully it's outside. Jeez. If not, I'd be outside. I tell you what, I would be living in that house. I'd be like, for sale. Woo.
Yeah.
Well, man, I tell you, you know, when Gene, when you came in here, you know, I was concerned. And then when you told me what happened, obviously, you know, I was really upset because, man, that, just the thought of that and you having to go through that and 3 days in the hospital, Lord knows you've been through enough. And so, man, I'm just so glad you know, you look good now. You know, even when you came in today, your arm looks great. Your finger looks good now. So, man, I'm so glad you're doing okay.
I'm back to my old self again.
Yeah. Now, and I know you said that you felt numbness as soon as you got bit. Was there anything else that you felt? And how long did you feel crappy like that?
I knew that from the prone position at the hospital that I could not assume a vertical position.
Hmm. Wow. Okay, everybody. So everybody listening, we had another little sidebar here because Jennifer, the stroke coordinator here at the hospital, just happened to walk in and sit down because she's wanted to come and sit in on our sessions in our recordings before. And so she is like the perfect person to ask our questions that we had earlier, which is why do people tend to have a second stroke so close after maybe even a first one? Like, for instance, Dr. Parker, who had his stroke when he was in the parking lot at the coffee shop, and then by the time he got to the hospital, like before, you know, hours go by, he's had a second stroke, and that second stroke being in the hospital. And same thing with Cassie. You know, she had a stroke at home, and you know, her husband was, you know, just telling us how, you know, he has a little bit of guilt in that he didn't take her to the nearest hospital. He took her to a hospital that's a little bit farther away, not way over on the other side of the world, but he took her to her hospital that was privy to her, knew her medical history, everything. She knew the doctors and everything, and he feels like maybe he should have taken her to like urgent care or something like that, you know. But all that coulda, shoulda, woulda. And she brought up the fact, she goes, yeah, but honey, think about this. When you saw that I had my stroke, you were ready to take me to the hospital. And I said, well, no, I'm okay. You know, I'll just stay here. And you forced me to go anyway. That's a great call. You know, the fact that he didn't listen to her, because as she said, had you listened to me, I would have had the second stroke at home as opposed to in the hospital. And certainly the best place to have a stroke, if you're going to have a stroke, is have it in the hospital. So I'm just kind of bringing you up to date because you weren't here for that conversation. Mm-hmm. So now I say this. Why is it that people do have second strokes sometimes in the hospital even? I mean, that close and in such a territory that you think you'd be safe?
Well, because you've already – so if you're having a stroke already, you've had that first stroke, there's a clot somewhere in your vessels in your brain, right?
Mm-hmm.
That clot doesn't have any rules to stay together in one clot.
Mm.
You're probably going to have some fragments of clots as well,
mm-hmm.
especially depending on how your stroke originated. If it came from your heart, sometimes people will have multiple clots in their brain.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because when you have atrial fib, those clots go up through your carotid artery. So that's why people can have one stroke and then have another one.
I see.
Because there's still a clot there. Or a piece of that clot that's already there could break off and move a little further away and cause it.
So the fact that things are a little active at the moment.
Exactly. You're already having some coagulation problems there, and now it can move distally to where the original clot was.
Mm.
Or if you've got blockages in here, and this is very narrowed, or you have...
It's like the jugular, or what is
the
that?
Like carotid artery. Okay. So that, if that's occluded, and you're saying you had a carotid artery, usually in here, it's with plaque.
Mm.
from atherosclerosis, high cholesterol.
Mm-hmm.
If a pieces of that break off, mm-hmm. you could have one or two strokes.
Because they could even
they
bump
might
into
not be right at the same time. Yeah,
I see.
So that's why
I hadn't understood that.
Yeah.
So is that like if one clot floats along, could it be bumping into some others and break it
could,
free?
Yeah.
Or
that clot could break off a little bit and a piece of it travel even
some other
further
place.
Down into your mm-hmm. vessels, into the smaller vessels, and cause a stroke somewhere mm-hmm. else as mm-hmm. well.
You know, that's interesting because I remember, you know, and I shared this on the show when Dr. Darflinger was here. He let me see one of the operations he was doing, and I got to see how the dye goes in, and it only went so mm-hmm. far, and then that's when they say, okay, well, this is the place, and then that's where the work begins. But I remember seeing all these little
there's all these
valleys
little
and canals.
Tiny
yes, tons
fears
of
in
them,
there,
tons
and
of them.
Some of those vessels become so small they can't get into them.
Yes.
So that's where you could have more strokes, and like I said, with atrial fib, you develop blood clots in your atria because your that part of your heart is not contracting like mm-hmm. it normally would. It's mm-hmm. kind of like
just
this.
Jiggling a little. Yeah.
And that's where you see people will have a shower of them. They'll have
wow.
multiple strokes throughout
their
you
brain.
Know, they
sure.
call it embolic. So they're okay. in a lot of areas.
Yes.
And those can be very devastating, of course, because they hit a lot of places. But yeah, so that's true. And then as well as the TIA, like you were saying, someone had symptoms of a stroke,
mm-hmm.
say the blockage isn't 100% complete, it's kind of wedging in there, they could start having the symptoms, and then at some point it does become the complete blockage, they'll start, it's those are their stroke symptoms.
Wow.
Yeah.
So that's how the other symptoms start to develop it.
And just because you are reaching out to the stroke community, and it's really important to know for everybody, call 911 if someone's having stroke. Because you don't have to make a decision on which hospital to go to. They will take you to the appropriate hospital.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Mm-hmm.
The paramedics have their own scoring system for determining if they think if someone's having a stroke, mm-hmm. and they know which hospital can help that patient. Same thing as a heart attack.
Given the score that
exactly.
they, I see.
So it's just a public service. Just mm-hmm. If you or anyone, your family member is having stroke symptoms, call 911. Overreact. Mm-hmm. Don't underreact.
Mm-hmm.
Because
mm-hmm.
They're going to take you to the appropriate place.
Mm-hmm.
At least in LA County.
Sure.
That's what we have.
Sure, sure.
So just little
yeah, no,
know,
that's
take
great.
Home point
yeah,
for
that's,
people to know that are listening to this.
Yes, that's great information. And
yeah.
then that really does.
Take you to a stroke center.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. And that really makes a lot of sense as to why people have a multiple stroke, especially, you know, so close to the first one. Is because things are still active and moving. And, you know, when you look in the brain, you know, it's like, you know, a bunch of highways. I mean, there's all kinds of left turns and right turns that anything could take at any time. And one clot could be going north and the other one just hook and yeah. start going east, you
or
know,
that,
to someplace else.
Yeah, or that clot could just kind of break off a
sure.
little bit. And then one piece just goes a little deeper and causes that second
that's
stroke.
Right. That's right.
But once you've had a stroke, I mean, you've got the risk factors for having another one. Once you've mm-hmm. had a TIA, you have a higher risk. And that's why when someone comes in the hospital, we immediately put them on a lipid-lowering medication,
mm-hmm.
Aspirin,
because
those are preventative.
Mm-hmm.
So they prevent someone from having another stroke.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
The aspirin's really important unless they have some other bleeding issues.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
If I won't say if. I mean, obviously there's a bunch of stroke survivors listening and there's a bunch sitting here in this room. What are some of the things that we really should be very concerned that we're monitoring and staying on top of so that we kind of stave off a second stroke or a third stroke or a fourth stroke, because there's people that have had multiple strokes.
This is, I always say, be fast.
Mm-hmm.
You guys all know that?
Right.
So, I mean, you're going to have the same symptoms. But say you've already had a stroke and you have some symptoms.
Yeah.
They can get worse. So say you already have some difficulty speaking,
mm-hmm.
but now you feel like it's much worse.
Mm-hmm.
You could be having another stroke in that same area.
Mm-hmm.
Or you could develop maybe on, you know, now all of a sudden you're having trouble with your arm and numbness and tingling. Definitely all the things that are on BFAST mm-hmm. are the same things you would look for. But sometimes you'll just have a worsening of your symptoms.
Mm-hmm. But now I guess, you know, obviously you take our medications as we're supposed to and things
yeah.
like that. But is there anything else that since we already are kind of on the radar that we should kind of pay extra careful attention to?
Like in the hospital?
No, now that we're home. Like, you know, we're post-stroke 6 months, year, 2 years, 3 years. You know, are there...
Gosh, I guess it'd be hard because, you know, I mean, basically any of the BFAST symptoms.
Yeah.
I would imagine if you're getting really bad headaches or having like auras or any kind of like visual, I would have that followed up by the physician.
Yeah. You know, and I have to say this too, being a single person, you know, I live by myself and things like that. I've had a couple of really bad headaches. And one thing that I've noticed that I have to do if I'm curious as to whether or not I'm having another stroke, and it's going to sound crazy, but, you know, this is what I got to do. I talk to myself, like, you know, not having long-winded conversations, but, like, I remember a few weeks ago when I was really feeling crappy, I was like, you know, I'm going to go to bed because I just don't feel good. And, you know, I certainly was like, oh, gosh, am I going to have a stroke now in my sleep or what? But because I wasn't sure if I was, you know, having any BFAST symptoms, I had to kind of do my own little self-check. So I literally said, you know, I mean, this is what I said. I was like, you know, I spoke out loud. Am I having another stroke? Because I wanted to see if I could say it clearly or was I going to slur? Exactly. Because there's nobody there to say to me, hey, you're like when I had my first stroke, they knew I was having a stroke because they heard my speech slurring. They saw me, you know, be weak on one side. Well, when you live by yourself, there's nobody to look at you. Exactly. You know what I mean? So I'm saying all this to say, you know, don't think it's crazy, guys. And if I'm crazy for doing it, well, then you just have to call me crazy. But if you live by yourself and you feel a little crappy, you know, here's some things that you might have to do. You kind of, you know, talk out loud for 5 seconds and just do a little self-check. Are you, you know, it's almost like what they tell women, you know, that want to, you know, to, you know, monitor your breasts for lumps. I mean, you have to feel your own breasts. It's the same thing in stroke. If you're by yourself, you know, you got to speak out loud and hear if you're slurring your speech. I even got up, I was sitting on the edge of my bed. I even got up to see if I could walk a little bit or, you know, I mean, I walk as well as I can already walk. I mean, you know, I can walk okay, not great as I used to. But my point is, you know, am I a little wobbly, you know? I mean, I had to kind of do
more exaggerated it
more than
normally,
usual.
Yeah.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. And you had a hemorrhagic stroke.
Correct.
So mm-hmm. you had a different type of stroke than... Mm-hmm. Like he, you know, because mm-hmm, mm-hmm. they had a ischemic stroke. I don't know if anybody else here had a hemorrhagic stroke, but I know
think
you
so.
Did.
Yeah, no, yeah, I
yeah,
did.
Yeah, everybody, ischemics are the most common.
Yes, correct.
Hemorrhagics are mm-hmm. not quite so common. Mm-hmm. But hemorrhagics are very notorious for causing headaches. I have had a hemorrhagic stroke as well.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
You never told me that.
No,
oh, my goodness.
I don't always say it, but
wow,
about 10 years ago. Very small
really?
One, but I did have one. So I experienced the headache. I experienced
yes.
a loss of vision. I experienced
oh my goodness.
A lot of the symptoms, and luckily they all went away.
Yes.
But I know what it feels like. But they're very notorious for causing headaches, seizures. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Whereas the ischemic strokes more, you know, have a different set of
yes.
symptoms.
I have headaches all the time.
Yeah, right.
But some people have them all the time from having an ischemic stroke, so it's hard to say.
I lost vision too, but my
wow.
vision came back.
Wow.
Yes, yeah, I can actually see my hands now.
Hemorrhagic stroke.
Yeah.
Oh, you
mm.
were hemorrhagic as yeah. well? Okay.
No, were you?
No.
Bleeding?
No, you were. No, you're ischemic.
Oh, yeah. afterwards, though. Yeah. So you had a combination. Sometimes it can happen if it's a pretty big stroke because it just, the area there is so.
Yeah, I had a massive right frontal.
Yeah, and then because of that, sometimes it can bleed, or if they, sometimes medication, or if they did a procedure can, mm-hmm. they try, that's one of the side effects or risk factors. So.
Yeah, it was either, you know, that or.
So some people.
Nothing,
yeah, some people have both. And so that, yeah. But you have all your vision back.
Yeah, I got my vision back. I lost my periphery, then it came back.
So you know now, if you were to all of a sudden develop that again,
yeah,
it's a good time to call 911, right?
Yeah.
Because that would be for you an indicator that something
yeah,
wasn't right.
My wife, when she said she was going to call 911, I said, I don't think it's a good idea.
But it is because you can be, you'll be taken to the right hospital.
Oh, yeah. When I had mine, I woke up in the middle of the night. I couldn't move.
Oh.
And then I told my wife said she's going to call 911. And I said, I don't think it's a good idea. She goes, your face is drooping, and why are you talking that way? And I said, why am I talking what way?
So you didn't know.
Yeah, and she just, you know. So then I could hear the sirens coming down the street.
Right.
Well, that's the thing is if it's a significant stroke, you're not going to know necessarily to call, you know what I mean? You're not, sure. And living by yourself puts yes. you at a little bit of a risk.
Exactly.
I live on my own as well,
right,
too.
Right, right,
right. So I know.
You know, another thing, and I was sitting here thinking while you guys were talking, another thing that I do also whenever I feel kind of crappy, I'll call my brother who lives in Detroit, and I say to him, you know what, man, I'm going to bed. I'm feeling kind of crappy. You know, call me in the morning.
Exactly.
And if I don't answer the phone, you know, keep calling, yeah. you know, because, you know, because again, I mean, it sounds kind of silly, but if you live by yourself, who else is going to check on you? I mean, you know, you hear about these things where they find people sometimes and they've, you know, unfortunately been passed away for like days and weeks because they don't have anybody that, yeah. you know, they do those, what do they call those calls? Wellness calls.
And so,
yeah. You know, where they have the police check. Wellness yeah. check. Exactly. Yeah. Where the police go kick the door in because, you know, they ain't heard from you in a few days, you know? I mean, you know, it could be a couple days before anybody, you know, would know, you know, if you're by yourself. So
living by yourself can be a good thing, but it does have its side effects.
Exactly.
I just was wondering if there are any new meds that are being given to stroke patients, because after my stroke, I was told, did they give you blah, 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 or blah, 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 and I didn't know what to say. And I am amazed to hear that there are any drugs that can be given to make people better after stroke.
The medications that they can give initially are time sensitive, so they have to be given within 3 to 4.5 hours. Those are to help break up the clot. That would be like a clot busting medication. You can also go for a mechanical thrombectomy, which is where they actually manually retrieve the clot. Those are all time sensitive. Once the stroke has completed and done. Yeah. Once that's happened, there's no medication you can take to reverse that. What you're given is medications to prevent another one from happening and protect your brain as much as possible, which is like Lipitor, something to lower your cholesterol, aspirin. I'm not sure what caused your stroke. They might have you on medication for atrial fib. But all it is really supportive and preventative at that point. And then whatever deficits that you've had, it's the therapy and all of that. There's no, unfortunately, pill to take away the disabilities right. that stroke causes. Yeah. Yeah, you just want to really prevent it from getting any worse and having another one. And, you know, and that's why stroke is, it's a major disability. You all know that.
Yeah,
I
absolutely.
Mean, even... I had a patient the other day, she couldn't speak, you know, so, I sure. mean, that's a life changer right there.
Sure.
Can't talk, that's a life changer.
Right.
You know, so.
Wow. Well, you know, you guys, we're going to take a break, and I know Jennifer's got to probably get back to work or something. She's kind enough to just kind of sit here and kind of answer some of our questions at the last minute. Jennifer, hopefully, thank you so much for
no
stopping
problem.
By and
yeah.
checking in and saying hi. Always good to see you, and everybody sit tight. We'll be right back. Life After Stroke is part of the iHeartRadio Podcast Network. Search and follow Life After Stroke on iHeartRadio or subscribe to the show wherever you listen to podcasts so that you never miss an episode. Also, be sure to download the new StrokeChannel.tv app, available free from Google Play or the iTunes App Store. Plus, the Stroke Channel is now on television on Roku. Roku is a television platform seen in over 40 million households around the world. So for news, information, exercises, entertainment, and more, all centered on stroke, be sure to tune in to the Stroke Channel, now on Roku. Hey everybody, this is Christopher Ewing from Life After Stroke, and there is something new we're launching that we are very excited about. We are launching the Life After Stroke Online Support Group. This is a weekly support group that is held online for those who don't have access to a support group in their area or who are unable to attend a support group because of physical limitations. The group meets each week online at www.thestrokechannel.tv or on the strokechannel.tv app, and is open to stroke survivors as well as caregivers. For more information and to sign up to be a part of this really cool online support group, just go to www.thestrokechannel.tv. That's thestrokechannel.tv. And I'll see you soon during the Life After Stroke online support group. Hey everybody, welcome back to Life After Stroke. I'm Christopher Ewing. And this has been a really good day. You know, we had a lot of good information. Good to catch up with everybody. Dave's got me ready to get on a boat and go on a cruise. I want to go on a Disney cruise now. Have we talked to John at all? We haven't talked to John at all. Wait a minute. We're going to talk to John. John, what have you been up to? Because I haven't seen you in a while either.
Yeah. I went to Texas for 2 weeks. and it was fun stuff. And
like a cruise.
Yeah, it was. And I got to spend time with my family and with friends.
Okay, I got to talk about your family. Hold that thought. You know, everybody, John came here a few weeks. He's actually, about a few months ago, he came here with his mom. And then a few weeks ago, his mom and his aunt were here visiting. Again, they're from Houston. And I'm telling you, and they know it, I love them. They are just the cool. Your mom and your aunt are two of the sweetest, most awesome people I know. They are so cool. Tell them I said hi, because I just love them. They are the nicest, nicest people. We had a great time visiting with them. And so I'm sure you had a great time going home.
Oh, yes. I loved it. And I'm going back to Texas in 1 year.
Okay. All right, you were mentioning you were going to move back, maybe.
Yeah,
okay.
But it's getting there.
Yeah.
But me and my boys are going to Cherry Valley Sunday.
Now, what's Cherry Valley? What is that?
The Boy Scout
camp. Oh, it's a Boy Scout camp? Oh, okay.
Boy Scout camp.
Okay.
And Cherry Valley is an island.
Oh, how cool. And
at Catalina.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay, I've always wanted to go there. That's why, Claire, you knew what it was, over by Catalina. Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
We've been talking about trying to do a little stroke outing one day and maybe going to Catalina, just having a day where we just, a bunch of us just get together and go let our hair down and have fun. Yeah, so we've talked about that. Wow, that's going to be fun.
Yeah, it is.
That's cool. That's cool. How's the scouting thing coming? I know you were going for like a wood something or other.
Wood badge.
Wood badge.
And I'm getting it done, but me and the scout leader do it together. But I did my stuff, and he has one more thing to do, and then we do it together for scouting.
All right, you guys know that I'm a crier, so I'm having a moment here listening to John. John, your speech has improved so much, man. You have just improved so much. I'm listening to you tell this story and talk. When I first met you, you weren't talking like that.
Oh, no. No, not a lot at all.
Man.
But now I'm getting better and better.
Man, I love you, bro. I'm so happy for you, John. And you're driving again. You're doing stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Man, I was just having a moment here, just looking at him across the table, and he's just talking, and you know, when I first met you, you weren't like that, man.
Oh yeah.
You know, and I've talked about this on the show before. When I first met you, I remember seeing nurses say to him, "Oh, John, you know, you're looking so good, you're doing so much better." And I didn't know John from anybody, so I just thought, wow, he must have been really bad, you know. And I've known him now for, you know, about a year, and it's like night and day. Just I can see what they mean about recovery and the improvement and stuff like that. Well, everybody listening, you know, as always, you know, we're here for you guys, and we love you guys, and we appreciate you listening, and hope that, you know, you're all caught up to speed on what everybody's been up to and all that. And it was great that Jennifer was able to stop by and the stroke coordinator here and kind of fill in some of the questions that we had. And then I didn't have to try to remember them for when we finally saw somebody. But hang in there, you guys. You know, I love you guys. I thank you so much for listening. And until next time, remember, there is still a beautiful life after stroke. This has been a recorded program of an actual stroke support group. The comments expressed are the opinions of the participants and not necessarily the opinions of the producers, sponsors, or the broadcasters of this show. This program is not to be used as a way to diagnose or treat any medical condition that you may have. Please consult your doctor or healthcare professional before making any changes to your current medical routine. Life After Stroke is a production of the Hang On to the Dream Foundation, the 501c3 nonprofit organization that helps kids and adults reach their goals in life. If these Life After Stroke programs are helpful to you, please consider making a tax-deductible donation to the Hang On to the Dream Foundation to assist the organization in its numerous outreach activities. For more information, just go to www.hangontothedream.org. And remember, no matter how hard things seem, hang on to the dream.